is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, it is Capitol Day. It is Wednesday, the 17th of May, 2017. We'll be talking more about the Brain Injury Association of Michigan here in the third hour of the program. Every year we bring you Capitol Day so that we can talk about what's going on with the Brain Injury Association. The lawmakers will come down. We'll tell you about the latest in technology, what's going on with no-fault insurance with CPAN and so forth. John Cornick will be here. John Cornack will be here in just a little bit to talk more about that in the third hour here of the program. But first, we've got a call from Moscow, Michigan. Moscow, Michigan, down, I believe that's in Jackson County. Boris on the line. Boris checking in. What's on your mind?
Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I call you because you're all worked up about President Trump. Do not be worried about President Trump. When us communist Russians get in charge of America, what we do is we take, me and Natasha, we stake the Democrats and the newspaper peoples, and we send them to Siberia on state-paid vacation like they like every year for a very long, long, long vacation in Siberia. So you will not
we'll
have
cool
to
off
worry
a bit,
about
boys.
What they say or when they say it.
I appreciate that, Boris, and I appreciate you checking in. Long vacations for all of these alleged reporters. Moscow, Michigan, I didn't realize it was so close,
Steve,
to the hammer and sickle.
Thing.
Go ahead.
Yes. One more thing. You must give Alex more borscht. He needs more meat on his bones.
More borscht. Clearly. I thought the kid had a tapeworm. Boris, thank you for checking in. I greatly appreciate your insights of the reporting of the American news media. Thank you for that. Speaking of commentators and so forth, and if you've never been to Moscow, Michigan, it's quite a place. I've been there many times. It's quite a place. Check it out. It should be one of your road trips. Put it on your list. Ann Coulter, says, you know, it depends on who you read, apparently got things wrong. She wrote, in Trump we trust, and proclaimed that she worships him like the people of North Korea worship a dear leader. Blind loyalty is the way she thought of Donald Trump. But Coulter's hyperbole, let's take it, set it aside. The understanding is that she's not too happy right now. She says that Donald Trump is not doing the things that he needs to do. One of the things that obviously she is hugely disappointed by is the lack of progress on the wall on our southern border. Ann Coulter disappointed by, I think a lot of folks are. That's one thing that she apparently believes she got wrong. She thinks that the swamp was wider, deeper, and more problematic than even Donald Trump considered. I said that from the onset, that he was going to be surprised at the amount of cleanup he would have to do, the amount of damage control that would be involved with trying to correct the problems with the swamp in D.C. Can he do it? I'll tell you this. I mean, the constant barrage of attacks, as I mentioned driving in today, listening to CNN, and every other word is seems to be impeachment. Wolf Blitzer yesterday in a minute and a half. It's not politicians saying it, but every Democratic politician that comes on CNN, well, what about impeachment? Well, what about impeachment? What about impeachment? This narrative is being driven by CNN, primarily. Their ratings are failing. That is true. Also being driven by MSNBC, by the folks on late-night television, and a host of other places. But it's gaining no traction. You look at what happens with the DNC. You look at Tom Perez, who is, frankly, if that's the best you've got, is Tom Perez this guy? this guy is going to be the savior of the Democrats and refine a message and put out a message that people understand and can identify. This is the guy that you're going to trust to turn around the Democratic Party. Tom Perez, who can't finish one speech without uttering words you can't say around children. I mean, that would be of grave concern to me, obviously. And this whole montage, this media frenzy about asking Democratic guests if they're ready to impeach Trump, and I would say, for what? For what would you impeach him? Well, the collusion with the Russians, Steve. The collusion. What collusion? James Comey, prior to being, you know, booted, said there is no collusion. Jim Clapper, a guy who's happy to lie in front of Congress, I don't know if he's very credible, but he says there's no evidence of any of this. And yet this is the narrative they keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. All right. So they're going to have to shift gears a little bit here. And tell me what you think about this. Because it seems that the United States is about to do a $300 billion deal. I believe that was the price tag. With Saudi Arabia for new armaments, new military equipment provided by the United States to the House of Saud, to Saudi Arabia's royal ruling family. And Donald Trump about to embark on his first foreign trip, a 9-day journey that takes him to the seats of the world's three great monotheistic religions, if you will, because he will be in Israel, and he will be in Saudi Arabia, and he will be throughout the Middle East, and he will be making symbolic first stops in Saudi Arabia, where he'll be welcomed by King Salman, assembling a greeting committee as large as 20 heads of state representing a large percentage of the world's 1.5 billion Sunni Muslims. So he'll be there, all right. And he'll be in Riyadh with an opportunity to repair the president's image with Muslims after an election campaign marked by rhetoric many saw as Islamophobic at a presidency that began with the ban on visitors from countries that were Muslim-majority countries. So you have that challenge. So he'll be starting there. He'll also be in Egypt with Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, and Turkey's Erdogan will be there as well. So he'll be there, and he'll be in Israel. So there are these spots on his trip that he's making, these different important stops on the trip. And I think it's a big signal about who he thinks he can be as president when it comes to trying to negotiate some sort of a truce, if you will, for lack of a better term, a truce between Arab countries, from Muslim partners. So I have partners in the Muslim world, in the Jewish world, in the Christian world, to bring all of these folks together. It is a big step for this president, 9 days throughout the Middle East. And maybe that'll finally take the narrative off this nonsense of this Russian collusion that's never been proven, never been shown to be any evidence to it. As they would say in the Washington Post, unsubstantiated, like most of the reporting done by that paper these days. It's the allegations of Russian collusion, unsubstantiated, is a simple way to get there. Straight ahead on the program today, Sean Toomer will be here. He is an attorney and cybersecurity expert. We need to talk about this cyber breakdown, meltdown, hack that's gone on across the country. Happened again today. People signing onto their computers shut down because of this massive worldwide hack. We're going to talk about with Sean Toomer after the break. And still to come, John Cornack, the president of the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. Sit tight.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Well, a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days. I said a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days.
All right, it is 18 after the hour on this Wednesday. It's the Steve Gruber Show Capital Day Edition. We'll have John Cornack here in a moment from the Eisenhower Center as we continue to talk about the Brain Injury Association of Michigan and all the things associated with no-fault insurance here. But first, if you've missed this headline, you've missed a lot, and this is this worldwide cyber attack. It's global, and it's a battle being fought every day in different places. And apparently, just by accident, the guy was able to stop the last one with this kind of a nonsensical IP address, a website address. But, I mean, they're coming every day. My next guest, Sean Tuma, an attorney and cybersecurity expert, to talk more about it. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
Glad to have you here. So these ransomware attacks, number one, is one thing that's going on. But what in the world is going on with this whole cyber attack, this global event that some people now say traces back to North Korea? Don't know if that's true. What can you tell us?
You know, Steve, what we know is that, number one, it was not as bad as it could have been, but it could have been a whole lot worse. And given that and the fact that it originated, the exploit that was used originated with the NSA and is being at least traced by some to the North Koreans, it makes us wonder if this was a test, if it was sending a message or what. But the one thing we know for sure is people better get their security house in order and get ready, because there's a lot more of this to come.
So what kind of things are affected here, Sean? Are we talking about personal information? Because we all know the NSA and everybody else looking at our information every day, from our cell phones to our computers. But are we talking about banking information, health information? I mean, what are we discussing here? What's being looked at? What's being hacked?
All of it, Steve. Our lives are now contained within the computers, the phones we carry, the iPads we use. Everything we have runs on cyber now, and cyber has become the new weapon of choice for warfare, revolution, espionage, business, and mischief. So the problem is when they have an attack against our computers for any reason, it disables all of it, like we've seen with this current ransomware, where it's disabling people's computers in its entirety, and they can't get any of their data.
Let me ask you this, Sean, and you've been with me before. We've discussed these things to some point. But is privacy, personal privacy, my own, mind your own business sort of an attitude, is privacy just a quaint, antiquated notion at this point?
I sure hope not, because that's what defines us as human beings, really, is our ability to have privacy. And you know, even those of us who advocate for very strong cybersecurity efforts do not want to see the erosion of our privacy. And I don't think it is. I think what we have to do, though, is the American people really have to take this as a wake-up call and understand that we have to take responsibility for securing ourselves and protecting our privacy and demand that of our government.
But in fairness, how do we do that? How do we do that in fairness when we know that our television could be watching us, our computer could be watching us? I know that the pickup truck that I bought, a GMC pickup truck, has a hotspot in it. Therefore, they know where that is. They know where my smartphone is. They can find me anytime they want by pinging it, they being the government. Now, of course, it's been used to solve some high-profile crimes in America. But if they can find the criminals, they can find you and I, Sean, anytime they want. And if they can make the computer and the television look at what I'm doing, are we really that far from Victory Gin and 1984?
No, we're not that far. And those techniques and tools are already there. It's a question of ensuring to the best of our ability that our elected officials are treating this responsibly. And look, we all have to get involved. It's a political issue. This is now at the height of politics, and we have to push as much as we push for all these other benefits and things we want. We have to demand respect of our privacy within the limits. We still want our nation to have superiority in this domain, but we don't want these tools to be used against us as individuals. For political purposes, for persuasive purposes, or anything else.
But we have to understand that
and make a stand.
Yeah, the problem is, and you know it as well as I do, that if I get on the computer today and I buy, pick your product, doesn't matter, and it gets sent to me by Amazon, and then I go look at other products and they get sent there, my computer knows my preferences right now. And there are algorithms right now that could pinpoint exactly what I'm going to do today, what I'm most likely to eat, how far I'm going to drive, what I'm going to watch on television, what I'm going to wear for clothing. It's all there. And then you compound that with the government information about my health care or my tax returns. All that information is out there. It's all out there. And I find that frightening, frankly.
Oh, Steve, no doubt about it. I mean, the genie is out of the bottle. It's a question of how do we slow the erosion? How do we limit the damage that is done going forward? And there's no going back, and we can't. But we can. I don't know that it's possible, quite frankly. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, meeting with congressmen and senators today and tomorrow. I don't know that it's possible, but I know we have to try. And that's
maybe the only way to go back is if, maybe the only way, Sean, is if I decide I want to become Jeremiah Johnson and stop shaving and get rid of my smartphone and computer and, go live off the land for real. Sean, I greatly appreciate the conversation, although you haven't helped my, I'm not going to sleep again tonight, Sean. I appreciate that, but I do appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
All right, there you have it, Sean Tuma. Straight ahead, John Cornick, the president of the Eisenhower Center here on Capitol Day. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is The Steve Gruber Show.
All right, it is Capitol Day here on The Steve Gruber Show. John Cornack here with me, president of the Eisenhower Center and Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's just down the street from our affiliate in Ann Arbor, Wham 1600, just around the corner, in fact, is the Eisenhower Center. I know because the first time I went to find that radio station to meet the folks, I said, hey, there's John's place. John, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve. Yeah, it is very close.
All right, so tell me what the Eisenhower Center is and what people need to know about it. If you're going to tell somebody that you met for the first time in 30 seconds, let me know.
We're a traumatic brain injury rehab center that takes on the toughest cases, and we take on the coolest cases. So if you want to see cool people and cool cases, you come to Eisenhower. Right now, we're opening up a new program called After the Impact in Florida with Mike Ditka. And it's kind of exciting. It's some NFL players. It's some veterans. It's some jockeys. We just put a big mix together and make it happen.
Now, this was just getting off the ground last year when we sat and talked during this event. But Mike Ditka, obviously, everybody knows who Mike Ditka is. Who wins? The Bears. Everybody knows,
the
right?
The Bears.
The Bears win. But this is a big deal because you've got NFL players involved, and with all the conversation about head injuries involving National Football League players, this kind of science and technology and research can translate to people that are injured in car accidents or motorcycle accidents or however they get injured.
Oh, yeah, it crosses all the way over. And you know, with all the media mania out there, I mean, it's just crazy. Everyone's coming out with their, you know, what they think is happening. We just answered the question. Eisenhower just says, okay, what when all this is said and done and the fog is away, what's the product at the end that these players and these veterans need? Because our veterans are a huge piece of our, and now first responders and jockeys. So we always ask the question, okay, that's great that we've had all this media coverage and all this research being done and all these kind of things, and we're part of the research, we're part of all the media, but what is it they need in the end? Because it's really about being an advocate and about a caregiver and about touching their lives. If you don't do that, then you're in the wrong business.
The reforms that CPAN is proposing are specific surgical reforms that will improve Michigan's auto insurance system while also guaranteeing that our state's most seriously injured people will start to be able to receive the care they need. That's a quote from you. Mm-hmm. And that's, is that where we're going?
That is where we're going. We want fairness and cost savings. So, look, if the Michiganders are going to win, it means rate reduction has to happen. So if we're going to give things like fee schedules and go after this fraud with the insurance industry, put some fee schedules on the attendant care side, and really figure out where the MCCA is from a transparency perspective.
Sure.
And we can save, a couple hundred, $300 million, something of that sort, then why aren't rates coming down?
Well, and that's one of the big pushbacks when you hear people criticize no-fault insurance in mm-hmm. Michigan. It's, well, we pay more than everybody else. My position is this. And you've been one of the people that's educated me on this very well over the last few years as I've immersed myself in this conversation. But I have been paying into this fund ever since I've been a licensed driver in Michigan. And so I've been paying ever since I started driving.
Right.
Why would it be appropriate now for there to be $20 or $30 billion, nobody's quite sure what the amount of money is, for that to be taken away and take care of those folks, and at the end of that process, the insurance companies would keep the money, and what did I get out of all the money that I paid in, or the tens of hundreds of thousands of people that did the same as I did? How is that
even
a conversation?
And there's no sense. No. It comes back to your common sense radio thing. I mean, they have $20 billion. They said they didn't have enough. That's what started this fight is, they said something over in the Capitol that, it's unsustainable. What do you mean it's unsustainable?
Isn't it growing?
It's growing. It's at $20 billion, and they just took the assessment up by $10 more. So it went from 160 to 170 as of July 1st. Why?
See, my understanding was I thought it might be closer to $30 billion, but nobody's actually 100% sure because they haven't shown anybody. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah. Well, they do have a website, but they don't. It's really about rate-making data. We really want to know how you making these rates.
Sure.
To be honest with you, this number can't keep going up at this level, and you keep increasing prices. I mean, the consumer, let's really just put it back to the consumer. We have a right that market pressures work. I mean, let's just do a little bit of economics. This is not an NFL football team where a running back gets $28 million and the next running back gets $32 million because they're a little bit better than the last one.
Right.
And that's how these prices and rates have gone up. They're acting like, they're the big rich kids on the block, so they're making the rules. But let's change that a little bit. Let's get our power back. Let's let the consumer say, we need fair rates.
So rates are important, obviously. But when you really get down to it, with what has happened in Michigan since the mid-1970s, is that people get state-of-the-art care.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they don't go bankrupt. Their families don't go bankrupt. And so, of all the bad things that happen in a traumatic car accident, for example, the one thing the families don't have to worry about is the fact they're going to get care. Because we all know the number one leading cause of bankruptcy in America are medical bills.
Oh.
Still true today.
Still true today.
And
yeah.
So this alleviates some of that concern.
Oh, it does. It's the best product you can buy. For $170, that's your catastrophic side of it. That's amazing. That is the greatest insurance on the planet Earth.
For the price.
For the price, you can't even touch that.
What do you say to people who say, you're making it mandatory? You've heard the arguments yourself. You're making it mandatory that I buy this coverage that I do not want,
sure.
And it's costing me money. But $170.
$170. I mean, that's not a big mandatory. Like your previous person, $3 a day or a week. That's $3 a week. That's nothing. That's fantastic coverage. And you also have to remember, these are vehicles. So we're talking about driving an automobile down the road at 70 miles an hour. Things are going to happen.
Actually, they just raised the speed limits. So actually faster than
Oh, great. Yeah, from the head trauma perspective, we would not have supported that. Slower.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we would have said, why don't we go a little bit slower? And we do like Martin Hauerlach's, the phone. Let's get people off their phones. Get them. I mean, how many of us drive down the road and we see someone texting on their phone? I mean.
Well, we just saw the most, the worst possible case scenario just happened about a month ago in Texas. The young man driving the pickup truck slammed into the church bus. Killed 15 people. Why? Because he was using his cell phone.
Cell phone.
And he killed 15 people on a church bus. We. I don't need that kind of pressure. My kids. And listen, if we train them young enough, they get it. Don't use your cell phone. I mean, you look at kids today, and compared to our generation, don't drink and drive. Kids are scared to death to have a drink and get behind the wheel because that's the way they've been trained, and we can train them the same way with cell phones.
We can, and we start early and keep it up.
Yeah, and keep them out of your facility. Keep them out of the Eisenhower Center. I mean, the best solution is...
Right.
I mean,
stay away.
In a way, I wish you'd go out of business. Not
me
for
too.
You, but you understand.
Thanks, Steve.
You understand my point.
I understand your point.
If nobody had to come visit, wouldn't that be the best world?
Oh, that would be the best world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you're on the cutting edge. You're working with the NFL. You've got all of these great things going on. Give me a couple of the examples of things that have happened since we last spoke that you can say, hey, look at what we're doing in this area.
Well, I mean, we really want to reach out to the veterans. So we've made a really concerted effort to go into Selfridge Air Force Base and open a center right on the base. It's a transitional center.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's not open quite yet. This is the 100th anniversary of Selfridge. So we're doing a female on the 22nd or 3rd, whatever the Monday is. We're doing a female veterans golf tournament. So the LPGA is coming in for a tournament in Ann Arbor. And so we're having female veterans paired up with the female professional golfers because we want to give female, we want people to understand female veterans need care too. So that's what, that's one of the most current things. Selfridge is exciting. And the Florida Center is open. So
do you have a minute more?
Sure.
Do you have a minute? Okay, I want to hold you through the break just because I've got some extra time here, and I want to talk about it's not just CPAN that you deal with. So many more things at the Eisenhower Center. Right. So sit tight right there, and we're going to continue the conversation with John Kornack here in just a moment. It's Capital Day here on the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you on board for that. It's brought to you in part by our good friends at the Eisenhower Center, Centria Healthcare, Health Partners, and so many more.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Whoa, Black Betty, bam, lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, bam, lamb. Black Betty had a child. Bam, lamb, the damn thing gone wild. Bam, lamb, said it weren't none of mine. Bam, lamb, the damn thing gone blind. Bam,
all right, Capital Day here on the Steve Gruber Show. Still with John Kornack. He had a few extra minutes before he goes over to the Capitol to start meeting with lawmakers about the different concerns that he has. But we have a phone call. Roger's checking in from Northern Michigan, has a question here, John, that I thought maybe you could feel that it doesn't seem like it's seems like a pretty decent question. Roger, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Yeah, good morning, John.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Hi, Roger.
Yes, sir. My question is, why does every vehicle have to have catastrophic insurance? When it should be just the person that owns the vehicle.
Well, I love that idea.
Yeah.
See, why didn't you talk to me earlier, Roger? Those are the kind of ideas we want because that would help keep the cost down. And
absolutely,
there's no real
vehicle, so I'm paying $85 to $100 on each vehicle, whatever that catastrophic insurance is.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's going up to
it's
170.
Yeah,
it's up to 170 now. Yeah, I have two vehicles with the same problem. And that's it should be per household. We can bring that up.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good idea because he's 100, you know, if you're a car collector and you've got, you know, six or eight cars in the garage, you're paying the lion's share. And he's suggesting, why don't we put a fee on, I suppose, on the driver themselves?
Yeah, and classic cars don't pay the same amount.
I understand
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, we could bring that up. What we're trying to do is get really fairness and cost savings into the system. So, well, we're coming up with ideas that say how do the individuals benefit here? Because Steve talked about it. We've been paying into this for how many years?
Well, since 1976. I
yeah, 30, 40 years, right. and well, for 44 years.
There you go.
So we've been paying into this fund for 44 years, and we're not really going to get anything out of it, and that's fine because that's what insurance is, really, right? You don't want anything out of it. You just want the protection in case something happens, and I think people need to remember that. It's you know, so we're not against insurance companies. In fact, we love that they're really healthy at, you know, 30 plus percentage.
And I'm going to go back to Roger's question one more time. If you have a couple of teenagers in the house, and they share one vehicle, then you're only paying for the one vehicle, but you could lower the price per individual and save and just spread it out in a bigger pool. I think that kind of makes some sense.
Yeah, I think it does make sense. It all comes down
those listeners of this program, I'm telling you, these sensible people.
Where'd you get these guys? Anyway, well, thank you, Rogers. But we will bring that. We can bring things like that to the table. That's why you need something like CPAN, so we can bring issues to bear on rates.
So when you leave here today, then, John, you're off to... you're off to see the folks we're in the shadow of the Capitol right here. What's on your agenda? What do you hope to plan for this year? What do you hope to accomplish? What do you hope to get out of today, and who are you going to talk to?
I'm about to go speak to Speaker Leonard and some other folks, and we want people to understand that we're concerned about no fault, about making massive changes to it. It's worked for 44 years amazingly well. So if we're going to touch it, if we're going to work with it, then let's do it that makes sense to the people of Michigan, where they still have their protections, they still have the things like the medical coverage so they don't go bankrupt. So we're not like all other states where families are just lost to the system, and that's really what happens. You can't be an advocate in any other state. You know why? There's no one to be an advocate for. They don't know where they are.
Right.
I mean, they get lost to the system, and they get into the Medicaid system, and it really... It's like having a second level of citizenry.
Yeah, citizenry. Nicely.
Hey, nicely done. Yeah,
nicely, well done.
Nicely. Thanks for helping.
But what I'm sitting here thinking about as you're describing all that, you through no fault of your own, you're sitting somewhere at a stop sign. Somebody careens through. You get creamed. All right, you've already had a bad. Your day is ruined.
You've had a bad day.
Bad things are happening, and then to compound that by losing the family farm or the business or whatever,
right,
because you've been financially destroyed through no fault of your own, and that's what I find concerning.
Yeah, and many times they lose their family. So on top of everything, they lose the most precious of all things. And so we don't want that to happen in Michigan. We realize it happens in all the other states. We got it. And we're well aware of that. And that's where CPAN comes in. And that's where the advocacy stuff comes in. I mean, we touch lives, and we are able to touch lives. And, so we're proud of that.
One last point where opponents try to pick away at what you guys stand for. That is, well, if it was such a great system, why isn't it in all the other states? And that's, you know, one of the your detractors say that as well.
Well, they do, but you're asking the wrong people, right? So if you ask insurance industry, they'll be happy to answer that question, right? Everyone's happy. If you ask the catastrophically injured people in those same states, they'll say, we wish we had Michigan's.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you talk about hospitals, case managers, guardians, people who have the responsibility of that life for the rest of their life, they'd say Michigan is what all of us should have. But if you ask in the insurance industry, they say, oh, it's great, everyone's happy. You know why they're happy, Mr. Insurance? The minute they're off your dime, you have no idea where they are anymore.
No obligation.
And the insurance companies have to stop pretending that they care, okay? So look, it's just a policy. You're not the one saving the life. You're not the one responsible for the life, and you're not the one touching the life. We appreciate you're the person supporting it financially. We love that. We're 100% behind you on that. But as the insurance industry, they often say, look, we saved this life. No, the emergency room saved the life. The helicopter saved their life. The EMS driver, the first responders, they saved your life. The hospital saved your life. Okay? And then providers like us saved the life. Not the insurance industry. I mean, I wanted to do a commercial about this one day where all of a sudden the helicopter lands and the insurance agent says, I can take it from here. And they're gonna fly you to the ER.
Yeah.
And then once you get to the ER, an insurance agent's going to come out and say, I can do the surgery, don't worry. It just doesn't make sense. Let's stay in our lanes on this one.
And then for companies like Eisenhower Center, it really is about quality of life from that point forward.
Yeah, it's our whole push is quality of life. Is how do we get someone reacclimated into the community where everything's safe, where the community's safe, where they can really see the value of life again? Because, you know, let's face it, in a blink of an eye, they lost everything.
Right.
And it's not going to take a blink of an eye to get it back. It takes time, effort, and it does take capital and money.
And you'll never get it all back. John Kornack is the president of the Eisenhower Center. How do people find out more about your company?
Well, they can just look up After the Impact. That's the best way. You'll find all about Eisenhower Center. If you want to talk to CPAN, it's just cpan.us.
I really appreciate you taking the extra time.